I can actually tell you that I see my dad in the streets fighting, you know, with the gang leaders to get me out of the gangs. And he just felt like the best thing he could do was move us far from it. But, you know, you can move me, but you didn't move what was in my heart.
Hey, listen, we've got a fantastic story of God's mercy and grace through the bad choices of life when you make really, really bad decisions. That's the focus. Hope you'll stay tuned. Much encouragement from Intentional Living.
Welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson. He's a counselor and coach, best-selling author, and your advocate for the family. Dr. Randy's guest is Jeff Jazzy Smith, who has a story of the amazing work God did in his heart that took him from gangs in prison to being a born-again businessman. So, what's God been doing in your life? Our lines are open at 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Now from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. Welcome to the center today. A very unusual program in many ways, as we just open the lines and hear from Jeff Jazzy Smith as he tells his story, profound story, from tragedy to grace to mercy to forgiveness. We'll get to that in a moment. I will tell you, a lot of what you're going to hear today is about setting God-honoring, worthwhile goals and taking the right path in your life. The decisions you make matter, and the decisions you make early on matter sometimes even more because you have a whole life ahead of you. But if you've made a lot of bad decisions in your life, no matter what they are, maybe not as serious as the ones you're going to hear today, but decisions that have taken you off course, I hope today we're going to encourage you as an intentional living listener to focus on one God-honoring, worthwhile goal and then get at it to honor him. We're going to get to Jeff Jazzy Smith here in just a moment from our Intentional Living Center.
Hi, I've been married 38 years, and for 20 years of my marriage, my husband and I were on separate pages as far as our relationship with God. He really was not a believer, and I prayed every day that he would become a believer. After 20 years, we had a really rough time. We did separate for a year, and during that time, God worked in him and changed his heart. We got back together after a year, and he has been in Christ. We read the Bible every morning. We pray together, and I thank God. It took 20 years, but God changed him. I know my prayers, God was listening, but God is the one who changed him. And now it is a great marriage, and I thank God for it. And we're good Christian lives right now. And I thank you for your program. I think it does a lot of good. And tell people that never lose hope, that God does listen, and in his time, he will change their heart.
Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center, and we got a fantastic story of what Christ has done in the life of a person by the name of Jeff Jazzy Smith. And Jeff, we've been talking before we started the program today, and what a journey you've been on. Welcome to the Intentional Living Center, man.
Oh, thank you there, Randy.
Now, this guy's a barber, and in fact, he cuts the hair for Stephen Davis, who's part of our team here, and some others on staff. But his story isn't about being a barber. I mean, No. That's your business. That's how you feed your family. But there's a journey getting you to be a barber in Tucson. Take us back to Chicago, growing up on the streets. What was going on in your life, man?
Well, and at a young age, at about 17, 18, I had to move down to Tucson, Arizona, because in Chicago, I was getting very involved in gangs. And my mom and dad was really concerned about it. So, you know, I got really very active doing things I wasn't supposed to do, me and my older brother. So my dad, I can actually tell you that I see my dad in the streets fighting, you know, with the gang leaders to get me out of the gangs. And he just felt like the best thing he could do was move us to Arizona, you know, far from it. But, you know, you can move me, but you didn't move what was in my heart. So I ended up coming to Arizona, and my mom and my dad moved down here. He was a, you know, construction worker. Well, not a construction worker, but he was a warehouse worker in the warehouse. My mom was always a legal rep. So they came down here and became nurses. I came down to Arizona, I ended up getting myself in some pretty bad trouble in about 1985. I started really getting into trouble. About 1990, I got involved, and I was dealing with these gangs down here. And I got into some kind of scuffle, a little thing going on, and I accidentally took somebody's life. and I ended up getting 12 years for taking a guy's life. I actually got 15, but I only had to do 12. And as I got down to doing my time, 8 years, the Lord allowed me in the penitentiary to, I guess, to survive. And in my last 4 years is when the Lord awakened me. For some reason, he made himself known to me in a different manner. I would read my Bible. It was like a novel to me. It wasn't really resonating in my heart. And then one day I was just in the hole for fighting, and I was reading my Bible, and I just went to sleep. I don't know if it was a dream or a vision, but I fell asleep, and I found myself dealing with the Lord, and I was talking with him in my sleep, and he would always deal with me in that manner. I don't know if he deals with everybody in different manners, but he would speak to me in my sleep. The Lord was bigger than me, and I was like in the size of like a four-year-old kid, and I was holding his hand, and the Lord made it clear to me that he always wanted me to stay that way. He always wanted me to be like a child, always able to learn, never being presumptuous, like I knew everything, you know, always trying every spirit to see if it was of the Lord. And that was very clear to me. I'll never forget that because it sticks with me for the rest of my life. That's how I always, you know, have to be when I'm dealing with people, just innocent and always, you know, loving them and always being open to them and not just prejudging people, because that's the way that they would see me in the same manner they would prejudge me. But the good thing about that is that, you know, the Lord, he created a different person in me. He made a stony heart flesh. He allowed me to express myself in a manner that people thought I was crazy in the penitentiary by trying to serve the Lord. Now, that's kind of ironic because I'm thinking they're crazy because they're in the penitentiary, but they're thinking I'm crazy because I'm walking around serving the Lord. There's a time when I was being, I guess, cornered in a riot. I was in a riot, and it was between Mexicans and the blacks. And as I was in the middle of it, I just want to be a little real with you guys so that you guys can understand that this is real life stuff. And I was in the middle of them, and it was like they had me cornered by all four corners. There's north, south, east, and west. There was no way I can go. There was no way I could talk myself out of it. There was no charismatic look that I could have because, you know, we're all men in there, so it wasn't off your looks or anything. These guys had death in their eyes when they were looking at me, and I could just see them reach back with their arms, and they were about to stone me to death. Like it was the old days. They was about to stone me to death, but when they lunged their arms forward, they just dropped the rocks and turned around with a face of disillusion, or they didn't understand what was going on. So when they turned around, you know, I actually just, at that moment, my heart was just opened up to the Lord. I mean, I think I was just tenderized and prepped just for the Lord at that moment, because I knew that there was nothing that I did. There was nothing that I could say. I knew that the Lord intervened in this situation, and I just thanked the Lord Jesus for that, because there was many opportunities in the penitentiary where I was dealing with opposite religions like Muslims and things like that. And one time we had a discussion where we got into an argument, and they kind of stumped me for a second. They told me that, you know, if you can hear God talking to you, then what does his voice sound like? And, you know, I really was stuck. I didn't know what to say. I was stuck. So then I just kind of like what I normally do. I just, you know, close my eyes and I just ask the Lord, you know, Lord, I'm in a position where I don't know what to do. I need you to, you know, come in on the scene again. And I hear his voice and it tells me, you know, tell him. I said, tell him what? He said, tell him the truth. And I said, the truth. And they go, what? And I said, the Lord's voice sounds like the truth, because anytime you hear the truth, you know that the Lord is unadulterated. He cannot lie. So whenever you hear the truth, you know that that's the Lord talking to you. I don't care if it comes from a baby. I don't care if it comes from an adult. I don't care if it comes from a non-believer, because a non-believer can set a Christian straight. And God can use a donkey, then he can use anything that he wants to use. So at this time, I began to really dig deep. I knew that my parents had to be praying for me. I knew that my family, somebody was praying out there for me in my family, or if whoever it was, I'm so appreciative of it. That's why I take it really serious to have the opportunity to pray for people. Mm. Even when I'm in my barber chair, I sit there and I put my hand on people when I'm cutting their hair, and not to be intrusive on them, I just pray for them without being intrusive on their beliefs, because I don't know if they believe or not. But when I see them in pain, I see them talking about divorces and things like that, there is a client patient privilege in there too, confidentiality, and I can't just tell the things that they tell me. I want to just pray for them. I take them in the back room. I pray for them. They ask me for prayer. And that's the thing that, you know, I take that serious, because I have blood on my hands. And these people are asking me to pray for them and put hands on them. You know, it's just the great power of God, mm-hmm. and what he can do, how he can change a person. And I just love what Jesus Christ is doing in my life right now because I have a Christian barbershop. It allows me to talk about God. It allows other people to talk about God. And we have those kind of conversations in the barbershop without, you know, any arguments because, you know, I don't like a profanity in there. I don't like lewd things on TV. You know, the Lord told me that's how he wants me to run the barbershop. I mean, I understand that I'm a shepherd, but he's the good shepherd. So the rules are his, and I have to follow what he tells me to do because he can take it from me like he took it from the person that I actually worked for. You know, I worked for a guy. We both was Christians, and he just began to fall away. And I didn't want to be judgmental on him. I just, you know, I wanted to do what God wanted me to do. We got in a couple of disagreements on how he was running the shop. So I ended up leaving because, you know, I didn't want to leave in bad terms. So I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told me, you know, I need you to handle what I need you to handle. And I understood what he was saying. He wanted me to carry his commandments. He wanted me to carry his laws. He wanted me to do the things that he wanted me to do. He wanted me to run the shop in that manner. So I left, and I opened up my own shop. It's been like 12 years. It's been successful. The Lord has never left me or my workers hungry because, you know, I think if you stand by what you believe in and you stand with integrity, people respect
that.
And they don't see you as, you know, somebody that's, you know, on a, you know, wishy-washy up and down. They see you when you're firm. And I can be kind of firm when it comes down to the things of God. But I feel like, you know, he made me a warrior like that. He gave me that kind of personality, but he don't want me to be a bully with it. He don't want me to lord it over people and be a bully. He wants me to basically, you know, be stern about the things of God, but you don't have to be a bully about it.
We influence through this process of the beginning and the middle and the end of everything. There's this sense of connection between all of this. And I was thinking, is there a biblical example that we find of a beginning, a middle, and an end? And I thought of Solomon. Because Solomon, we get a recording of scripture of this guy who writes in the beginning, he writes in the middle, and then he writes again at the end of his life. He's written the Song of Solomon in his youth. He's written the book of Proverbs of all this wisdom in his middle years. And listen to what this guy says as he gets to the end of his life. The very last words that we see of Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And he says, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them."
That's an excerpt from a two-part series that I've done for members of Intentional Living called The Decades of Life, Living Intentionally Through the Decades of Life. We take every decade and talk about what are the decisions you need to make, and if you haven't, how that impacts your life, and what you can do now to be intentional. It's a very encouraging teaching, so watch for it, members. If you're not a member, the good news is you can join today and become a member. And what will happen is we'll start you in November, and we're going to have both of those on the November CD as well, so part one, part two. So this is a great time to join us in support. Your monthly support allows this ministry to continue to do what it does, and it helps you to grow. We're here passionate for you and your journey. Thank you for catching the vision, and thanks for being a part of it. Go to theintentionallife.com. Theintentionallife.com. Your support here at the end of the month matters as well. A single gift, whatever God's laid on your heart, we'd appreciate it so we can close out this month of October strong. Again, go to theintentionallife.com, and we appreciate it. And by the way, just as a reminder as well, everybody who shares a gift this month, we have the beautiful Living Water 2015 calendar as our gift to you. Ask for it when you send in your gift or give online, and we'll make sure we get it to you. We're going to get back to Jeff Jazzy Smith and turn the corner as he shares some encouragement for you and others that might be headed down the wrong path. We'll be getting back to him here in just a few minutes from our Intentional Living Center.
Where I'm at in my life, is it a result of my bad choices, or is it a result of his working in my life? So is this our fault, or is this what God has for us?
God is in control. We believe that his children will not be forsaken. There is the power of the Lord beside him. We know how God is in control.
Well,
I can't say that I'm a Christian, but God's slapping me in the face every day for the last year. I've been listening to you, and I'd like to know how you know when your heart says something, your mind says something, and your gut says something, and they all conflict. And no matter which one you follow, somebody gets hurt. It's a different consequence. How do you know?
This is no time for fear. This is a time for faith and determination. Don't lose the vision here. Carried away by the motion. Hold on to all that you hide in your heart. There is one thing that has always been true.
My husband and I have been married 25 years. We tried for 22 of those years to have a child, but we finally came to a place in our lives where we had to understand and realize that it's not always our timing, and it's really God's timing. To talk about God's timing, March 19th, we brought two beautiful children home from Russia, and we are now the parents of a beautiful 4 and 5-year-old boy and girl.
Good for you. Congratulations.
And, I made a statement to him on the way home. I can't believe that God set these two children aside for us. And he said, no, God didn't set them aside. He set us aside.
God really is in control. This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Jeff Jazzy Smith shares more of his story with Dr. Randy in the second half. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Wow, Jill, you look great.
Thanks. I feel great.
New diet? Working out?
Well, kind of. I've been reading this book from Dr. Randy Carlson called The Power of One Thing.
Reading a book made you look this good?
It's about changing your life one small, intentional step at a time each day. For me, that means taking better care of myself, spiritually and physically.
Well, it's working.
Your one thing, lived intentionally, will help you achieve the dreams you've given up on. Buy The Power of One Thing today at theintentionallife.com.
Free. Can you really get anything worthwhile for free anymore? Well, here's good news for you. At theintentionallife.com, you can find all kinds of things to help you as you lead an intentional life. Many of them free. Pick up Dr. Randy's free ebook, 30 Days of Inspiration, or check out the latest newsletter or daily devotions, all free and available to you right now. It's not always easy to lead an intentional life, but with free resources from theintentionallife.com, you can do it.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. You know, if God has done something amazing in your life, like giving you a new heart or an answered prayer or whatever, we've got a place for you to share it on our Facebook page. So become a part of our Facebook family today. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com and click on the Facebook icon. Randy.
Thank you, Kurt, and welcome back here to Intentional Living Center. Kind of a cool program today, isn't it, to hear the heart of this gentleman, Jeff Jazzy Smith, what God has done in his life. And, you know, you think about the decisions we all make, most not nearly as life-altering as what Jeff has made. But, you know, they add up, don't they? People we marry, decisions we make, career choices, financial decisions, health decisions. We want to honor God, and that's why in living intentionally, focusing on God-honoring, worthwhile goals matters so much. And I hope you're finding today to be very helpful. Again, my guest today is Jeff Jazzy Smith, and we'll hear more of his story right after this.
Randy, I just want to thank you very much for your intentional living program and comments about being intentional livers.
It has changed my life.
I've been trying to live the intentional life the best as I can. Before I found Jesus, I had a hard time with sins of the flesh. But what I'm doing to try to help myself even further is I talk to my friends and family and have my own time with God.
I have teenage children and am challenged at times with not reacting to them. I'm setting the tone of not raising my voice. My home has been a much more content place.
Her doing God's will is most important, and where God wants her is the safest place for her to be.
I've been listening to you for almost 3.5 years, and I do want to live an intentional life, and it's taken a long time.
Well, let me ask you, Jeff. I know that you have a lot of experience. You were in prison for, you said, 12 years.
Yes.
You know both sides of the experience of decisions that are just for yourself and where that leads, and then making decisions to follow Christ. What do you say to parents that are listening today? They've got young sons or daughters that have just, you know, gone off the trail, and they're going down the wrong path. They love them, and they prayed for them. They may have been incarcerated. They may be there now. They may be on the path there, and the parents are just wringing their hands with worry. What do you say to those parents in helping them be intentional with what they're facing?
Do not be discouraged. You know, there's a scripture that I always hung on to, that's Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You can do all things. You can pray for your family. You can pray for your children. Prayer is a very powerful tool for a Christian, a very powerful tool. You can change things. Joshua changed. He held the sun up so that he can fight, so he can fight longer. So, you know, prayer is a very powerful thing when you're dealing with God. And I would encourage you to just pray for your kids. Do not get discouraged by their conduct. Don't get discouraged about their disrespect, because I was one of those at one time. And I know that it does my mom's heart good to see me, you know, talking about the Lord, serving the Lord. I mean, she has another son, my oldest brother, that was in the game. He's a minister. He's a pastor over two churches in Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And now he's in Kentucky, too. So, you know, I know that does her heart good. But the thing was, is that, you know, that decision has to be each individual's decision, and you got to keep teaching your kids, and you got to keep raising your kids in the ways of the Lord. And believe me, it will not depart. God will deal with them. Jesus will deal with them at the appointed time. They always have an appointed time to make that choice. It's like a crossroads. Do not just give up on them. You just keep teaching them. You keep feeding them the fruits. You keep throwing them fruits in there, and they'll take on fertile ground and they'll grow. You just have to keep doing it, because somebody else is going to water, but God is going to give the increase. So you just keep doing what you're supposed to do, because it wasn't my mom and dad that talked to me in the penitentiary. It was another man in the penitentiary that talked to me, another younger guy that talked to me, and they just watered the things that my parents had already put on my heart that I knew I was supposed to be doing. But then I started seeing myself, and I said, you know what? This is disrespectful to my parents. This is not honorable to them. And the Bible says, honor your mother and your father. And I wasn't honoring them in the manner that I was living. But people can water your kids better than you can, because no prophet is welcome in their own home. It's always somebody else that deals with them. So you just do your job. They know everything about you. They know when you get angry. They know how to get you upset. They know how, kids know how to manipulate their parents. They know you because they live with you. The thing is that you just keep doing what you're supposed to do. Believe me, somebody else is going to water them. It's just as crazy as it is. I water a lot of kids that come into that barbershop every day, that comes in there and that needs that parental encouragement, that their mom and their dad is not crazy, not unusual, because I'm the same way with my kids. You know, I still pray for them, but I know that somebody else is going to water them, and I know somebody else, and I know the Lord is going to grow them.
What do you say to a young person today who might be just turning the radio dial and they stop to hear this guy share his story, and they know that they're kind of hanging around with the wrong group and they're trying to find their significance in gangs or whatever? You've been there and done that. What do you say to that younger person today?
Well, every young person knows that when they're in those gangs, they're looking for that family unity. And you have a family, but you're rejecting the family that really loves you. They're telling you things that they love you more than your family, because you know why? Because your family is a disciplinary family. They have to discipline you to get you on the right track. But those people are going to embrace you with the bad things that you do. They give you accolades for it. They praise you for those bad things. And you know that there's not one gang out there that teaches you to do good things. Not one. So you know that if you're doing those things, that you need to pull back from that, because most gangs, you basically thrive off of fear. And you know that cowards run in groups. And that's what basically got me, because I'm a man. I want to be a man. So a man stands alone and he's accountable for the things that he do. A coward runs in groups and then points the finger at everybody else when they get in trouble. And that's basically what gangs do. They point their finger at you because they don't want to take the fall when them people start talking about 25 years and 10 years and they start putting them double digits. Believe me, the finger will be pointed at you so that they don't have to do it. That's how the system works. So it's not beneficial for you to be in gangs, and you know that. You know that, you know, that it's a false sense of security because, you know, once the police come into the picture, you guys begin to run and you guys begin to tell on each other. So, you know, I'm just being honest with you and I'm being frank with you, and I know you know what I'm talking about. I know you understand what I'm saying to you. I just want you to be honest and look yourself in the face in the mirror and say, you know, I'm not a coward. I'm a man, and I want to stand up for the things that are right.
Well, Jeff, thanks for being with me here today. And what a story. I think we just scratched the surface on what God's been doing in your life through Christ and how the Holy Spirit gives you the strength every day to follow him. And thank you for stopping by, and God's best to you in your work as a barber.
Well, thank you, and God bless you.
Randy, I'm calling from Central Alabama. I've listened to your program off and on over the last several years that I've traveled, and you have offered a lot to the listeners and the participants in your program, and I want to thank you. I want to tell you that when I first heard your initial broadcast for the first time a couple of years ago, new to me, I was highly skeptical because I'm always skeptical of people who offer advice and guidance, because there's so much bad advice, unbiblical and non-biblical guidance offered these days. But I've grown to have a sincere and a deep appreciation and gratitude for your balanced view and balanced attitude and balanced approach toward offering compassion and guidance and biblically solid advice to the people who call in. People are grateful, very grateful for you. And I want you to be encouraged to continue to keep your focus biblically. But I just want to thank you.
Well, thank you. We're glad to do it. We really are. And we appreciate those encouraging words. You keep us going here. And you're right. You need to question anybody giving advice. If it's contrary to Scripture, you always follow the Scripture, right? That's including me, anybody. That's just the bottom line. You know, the Scripture says, speaking of the Bible, in Ezekiel 36:26, "And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart." I think that's what came through today, how a stony, difficult, hard heart can be softened, including the people in your life. Pray for them. Ask God to do a work in your life as well. Coming up, dealing with disagreement in marriage from Intentional Living. See you then.